It's November 1st, 2009. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Balser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. I invite you to pray with me as we open our hearts and minds to God. Let's pray. O Lord, thank you for extending your mercy, your undeserved favor to us. In a world where often revenge and paybacks are the order of the day, you treat us with divine kindness. Give us courage today for the places in our lives where it hurts. Renew our hope, and we say again today, you are to be trusted. We want to live in that confidence. Amen. That was To Thee We Call by the CMU Alumni Choir. Today we begin a series of five reflections on the book of 1 Peter. Dr. Pierre Gilbert, Associate Professor of Biblical Studies and Theology here at CMU, joins us for the month of November. The text for this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, and our theme is an indestructible inheritance. Pierre, welcome back to Sunday at CMU. You're not a stranger to this program, and it's great to have you again.
It's good to be here, Dave.
I'm curious, as you lead us into this biblical reflection, how's your inheritance these days?
Well, Dave, it looks like my dad is going to outlive me by at least 25 to 30 years. And even if he did pass away before I do, which is very unlikely, there won't be any money there. So I'm not counting on any inheritance to come.
Well, I'm glad that you can lead us into what 1 Peter has to say about inheritance, which may have a little bit more security in it than what you're looking at down the line.
That's correct. That's what I'm looking to.
Pierre, it's wonderful to have you, and we thank you for helping us experience God's word this morning.
Thank you. Peter's first epistle is addressed to a group of men and women who are beginning to experience opposition because of their faith. It is not yet full-blown, but the signs are not encouraging. Before too long, they will be thrown into the roaring furnace of persecution itself. In such an environment, the issue is quite simple. When faced with possible death, will these Christians remain faithful to Christ, or will they cave in? Peter is most conscious of the challenge these brave men and women are about to face, and writes to them in order to give them the tools they will need to survive the storm that is looming ahead. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. Peter begins by sharpening their vision. To begin with, he reminds them that they have, ultimately, nothing to fear from this world. Persecution, mild or extreme, even death, should not be a source of terror for them. The Christian faith is not just some kind of ideology designed to make our lives better or make us happy. To put our faith in Christ is to enter into a new plane of existence. It is to enter into the God of life himself and to have that life saturate every fiber of our being. And while we in this life do not yet see the full outworking of this relationship with the living God, a time is coming when it will become fully realized. Now, Jesus has never promised us a perfect life, but he does promise us a perfect eternity. Those who put their faith in Christ have the assurance, the guarantee that one day, the work of redemption effected by Christ will, like a raging fire, engulf us and the world, leaving behind a brand new world populated with a new species of human beings, glorious and redeemed, who will live on forever. God bless you all.
That was Be Thou My Vision by the CMU Alumni Singers. My interview guest today is Mitch Krohn. Mitch, thanks for coming up to the studio.
No problem.
I say up because we're on the second floor here at CMU. You're an admissions counselor. What does that mean to you?
Well, for me, being an admissions counselor is not a sales job, as some people usually think. For me, it's usually... talking to students and helping them make the next step in their journey to whatever they're going to become. So I usually say it's a step of discipleship.
Say a little bit more about that. Why do you describe it that way? Like, to me, that has a bit of a sense of a God factor in there somehow.
Well, I mean, when you're talking to students, especially students who are coming from a faith perspective, usually whatever you do in life will eventually come down to having a faith perspective. So why not your education? I mean, that's a big step. You're committing 3 to 6 years of your life to get prepared for something. I would hope and I would pray that God would factor into that. My job is, you know, helping a student trying to decipher or trying to discern what God might be saying to them.
So
I imagine you in a high school, a public high school or a private high school, in an admissions office, kind of outside the door of the guidance office, or in a cafeteria.
Oh, we do lots of lunchrooms.
And you're sitting there. How does discipleship take shape in that context?
Well, a lot of it is praying that you'll actually get to talk to somebody, because we do a lot of public high schools. And then it's a matter of a student will come to the booth and start asking questions. And it's just about starting to build a relationship and finding out where they're at, what they might want to do, because it always opens up the door for more questions. And that's the thing that's with discipleship, in any case scenario, is you're trying to help people discern the questions and answer the things that are coming up in their minds.
So. Is there a particular part of the process of seeing students move into this discernment and eventually come to CMU? Is there one particular part of all that you really, really like? It's the kind of the thrill moment of this whole work that you do?
I mean, it's always fun getting the emails, because sometimes you get emails on a weekly basis, but it's that fruition. It's that when you see them at orientation and they're just bleary-eyed and they're just kind of like looking around and it's nervous and exciting and they have no idea where they're going and they're so excited about where they're going. So it's kind of... it's kind of that orientation day when they're on campus, and then they see your face and they're like, huh, you're the guy, you're the, hi, that whole thing, especially when you're dealing with students from out of province. Yeah. And they're just like, you've never seen them before in their life, and then they're like, oh, that's the face.
And sometimes they've imagined you exactly as you are, and other times they can't believe that that's the face that they've been talking to.
Yeah, right? They're like, you look like a Scooby-Doo character. And they're all, well, I mean, they can see my face on the web, so...
It's nothing like face-to-face,
though. Nothing like face-to-face, yeah.
The other piece I wanted to ask you about was you're also teaching in this term in theatros. You're teaching theater and drama. How does that play into how you offer gifts to the community?
I have a really strong passion for theater. So this year when I offered to lead the group, it was also a step of discipleship about using my gifts in theater, giving that theater gift back to some of the students, and just really being blessed by the gifts that they bring as well.
And your scenario is this is a drama troupe or ensemble?
Like
it's
is.
Not a full production stage performance as much as a road team?
It's
so
a road
speak.
Team. It's a community team, and we do little snippets, little sketches. We're working on some stuff that will hopefully get the community thinking about stuff, and that we could take to high schools and some churches and that kind of thing. So
thanks so much, Mitch, for offering your gifts in creative ways. And for being able to come and tell your story here today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. This Saturday, November 7th at 9:45 a.m., join Christine Longhurst, Evangeline Keeley, and the CMU Worship Band for the 4th annual New Songs for Worship workshop. November 5th, 30 p.m. in the Laodamas Auditorium is CMU Vespers, a time of quiet worship, contemplation, music, and scripture. And on November 17th and 18th is the Friesen Lectures on Mennonite Women in Canada with lecturer Marlene Epp of Conrad Grable University College. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at www.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. And may the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.